Hello and welcome to this week's message from Michelle Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
But we're in a series at the minute, and which is all about who we are as a church. It's all about understanding who God has actually called us to be, because there's many churches in our nation, there's many churches in this land, and many churches even in Preston, but you could go into so many of them and they feel different. But they're all Bible-believing churches, you know, they're all praying to the same God that we pray to, they're all expecting God to do something. But there's something about when you come to Valley, there's something about when you walk through the doors of either Preston or Lancaster or Blackpool, or the guys, if you're in the Northeast Connect, there's something about when you turn up that you know you've come home. You know, if you're part of Valley, you know, you just feel like you belong when you walk in the door, because, you know, you just feel like it's family. And there's a few things that kind of count for towards this. There's a few things that are kind of part of our culture, if you will, because that's what it's called, isn't it? It's called our culture. And we've been talking about these in a series that's been going on for the last few weeks. And if you were here in the morning, Ed and I chatted about some of the stories, the fun stories, the crazy stories that happened around the time when we started church, when we got this building, times when we did. Amanda came up, talked about church on tour. Who else came up? I think Alex came up, talked about Wigan. And someone else came up. James Baker came up and talked about leading worship right at the beginning, you know, and we had all those stories and we talked about, you know, what it was that made us as church. And like, we had this can-do spirit. We had this like belief that God was going to come through and do some amazing things. And then Ed talked last week about having a healthy heart. You know, one of the things that we really want is for everyone to have a healthy heart. We want everyone to be able to just be amazing in their life, because actually, you know, God's done something inside of them and we've got this heart that is healthy. We're staying healthy. We've talked about pioneering again. We've talked about, you know, how we don't want to settle. You know what? Valley Church is never about settling. You know, there's always something new going on, and so we don't ever want to settle. But today, we want to talk about creating home. And I did talk about it a little this morning, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite some friends to join me on the platform. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us to be a certain type of church family. God, that you've put something on us as Valley, God, that sets us out and says, this is who you are called to be. You're called to be a church for the new generation. You're called to be a home for those who need a home. God, and we thank you this evening, as well as this morning, God, that you're here with us and that you are calling us on to even deeper things, God, even greater things with you. And God, I pray now that you will anoint my words. God, that the words I speak will be your words. And God, that you will help us all to see the part that we play in this adventure. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I'm going to invite Jack and Claire. Do you want to come and join me for a coffee? Because they've assured me they are you clapping them up? They're clapping you up. Okay, you can. If you're going to clap, like clap. Because we're a church that does it passionately, aren't we? We're a church that does stuff passionately. And I've been assured they will eat all the cake. Because apparently this morning, there was about 100 people sat there going like, I want the cake. And they all went to the coffee shop after. And you know what? We almost ran out of cake this morning in the coffee shop. Because I reckon everyone was sat in the congregation like salivating and watching the cake that was on the platform that they didn't finish. Even Ed was like, I wanted the cake. Why did they not eat the cake? So guys, welcome to the platform. And like, enjoy your coffee. I know, it's good, isn't it? So do you know, I actually don't want you to do anything. Just be like, be at home. And drink coffee and eat cake and just enjoy. Is that good? Awesome. Enjoy. You know what? These two are epic. They're our youth pastors and they are our evening service pastors. And like, they just love people and they eat cake. So they're going to come and eat some cake. But there's a reason for it, okay? You know I'm going to go somewhere with it, don't you? If you know me well, you'll know that I just love to talk about home. And I often get the subject given to me of talking about home. And I say to Ed, but we've talked about it so much. Like, do you really want to talk about it again? And he said, there was a preacher once who got to church and he gave out his text and he preached his message. And he went home and the next week he said what his text was. And it was the same one. And he preached the message and it was the same one. And someone came up to him at the end and said, hey, you preach the same message. And he goes, yeah, I know, but they didn't get it. So the next week he got up on the platform and he got the text and he preached the same text and it gave the same message. And apparently it happened 10 times before they actually got the point. And you go like, wow, really? I don't know if that was a true story. Ish, true-ish story. But you know what? So often we forget. And if God wants us to be a certain kind of type of people, a certain type of church, then let's remember what God has called us to, and let's live in the grace of what he's put on our church, which is to be a home for the new generation. So I love home, and I love, like, my heart always goes out to people who maybe haven't had such a great start in life. Maybe they don't have a great home environment, or maybe, do you know what, they just need someone to love them. And I love to be the person who goes, yeah, you know, come for lunch and come hang out and let's have a coffee, because I just love people, and God loves people. You know what? It's not weird. It's from God. And it says in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And Psalm 73, 26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And you'd have to be blind. I said this morning, but you'd have to be blind not to see that we live in a broken world. You know, we all have relationships that, you know, they might be great some of the time, but you know what? They might be really hard some of the time as well. Even the best marriages, the best families go through challenging times as well as good times. But, you know, there's also people in here that maybe haven't had parents who have loved them, or maybe, you know what, maybe a loved one has died through sickness or old age. Maybe you've moved away from home and you've gone to uni and you're away from your family. Or just maybe, you know, there's something in your family that just feels broken. You know, we're not unusual, because there's people all over our world like that. And if we're sat in here like that, then the people that we rub shoulders with on a day-to-day basis, you know, equally or more so are looking for someone to love them. Because it's not just the brokenhearted that need love, it's actually all of us. You know what? To be frank, all of us need to know love. We all know we need to know God's love, because there's something inside of us that actually wants love and wants community. We all want somewhere to belong, somewhere to call home. And so when Ed and I wrote The Church We See a few years ago now, it starts with this phrase. It says, the church we see is a home for all, where people of any generation, age, race, and background are welcomed, valued, and loved. The church we see is a home for all. A home for all where we can sit and be, where we can be with friends, where we can enjoy life, where we can be together, where we can be encouraged, you know, where we can be nudged when we need to be nudged. But it's a home for all, where people of any generation, age, race, and background are welcome, valued, and loved. And you know what? It's the church that that we would love to see. It's the church that our friends would love to see. But it's the church we would love to pastor. But more than any of that, as I said this morning, it's the church that actually we all want to belong to. You know, at the end of the day, we all want a church where love is in the center, where love is here, and where actually love promotes action. And you might be sat there going like, I wish I was the one on stage eating the chocolate cake. You might be. Are you? Ed is. Maybe you're not. But we all want to be part of something. Do you know? We all want to belong, and we all want to be included. And 1 John 4, verses 11 to 12, and it'll come on the screen, says this. It says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. You see, no one can see God, but they can see you and they can see me. And so this is the why behind so much of what we do. It's the why behind why we have amazing hosts on the front of the door. It's a why behind why we have the guys on the roadside with the hands. You know, it's the why we have such amazing kids workers and youth leaders. It's the why behind we have the best coffee in Preston. You know what? We want to be a church that is welcoming. We want a place where we can bring our friends to and people can find a home. You know, it's the why behind all the hard work that we do. You know, we don't do it because we want to make it difficult. We do it because we want to welcome people into amazing home. We want everyone to know that they can be part of an amazing family. And it isn't just some newfangled idea that we've dreamed up. It says in Psalm 92, verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. They will flourish in the courts of our God. You see, the reason that we want people to find a home here is because we know that if you get planted here, you'll flourish. You know, if you get here, if you get stuck in, if you stay, if you allow the challenges of the Word of God, the challenges of the people around you, you know what, if you just get stuck in and you commit to being here, then we know you will flourish. Because the Bible says so, and the Bible is the true Word of God, and the Bible doesn't lie. You know what, if you said that that's what you're going to do, I guarantee you, you will flourish. If you put God first, if you follow His Word, and if you commit to the people of God, then it says in the Bible, your life will flourish. So the question is then how do you and I actually make this place home? And you know what? We all want this. I don't know kind of what your home's like, but when I think of home, I kind of think of, you know, sitting around the kitchen table. You might think, I think someone with this morning was like, I just think of being there with my little games console and, you know, they just like exercise your thumbs, yeah? But, you know, what is your home like? But it's a place where you can be you, isn't it? It's a place where you can be real. It's a place where you belong. But actually, if we're going to create that kind of thing here, then actually it might need for us to actually change our minds a little bit. It might actually mean for us to actually upset our plans and our own priorities, the things that actually within us that maybe we want to do that are selfish and that only think about us. But actually, if we're going to build a home for other people in the house of God, then actually there might be a little bit of challenge along the way. There might be a little bit of work involved. And I've actually asked if we could have someone amazing to come and do some ironing for me. So, James, won't you just come and just help us out here for a moment? Because apparently, like, James irons shirts really well. So I don't know how you'll get on with this one, but anyway. So you might be able to take some notes on James. It's not actually plugged in. So, but the point is, you know what? We all want this. Hang on, come back to me a moment. We all want this, right? We all want the chocolate cake. We all want the like nice coffee, the chill, comfy chairs. But to get this, actually, we need to do a little bit of this. And we need to do a little bit of this, a bit of you know, DIY stuff. Like, I didn't want to be sexist or anything. So men are actually way better at ironing, generally. I'm claiming that one and believing that one. My husband is not quite there. We're working on it. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. I've got a minute. So when we first got married, like, Ed used to iron his own shirts. And am I allowed to do this? Yeah, Andy's going. His brother's saying it's okay. But you know what? He was so bad. He was so bad at ironing that I was like, oh, you can't iron. I'll iron for you, darling. So for the next, 5 years? 10 years? I used to iron his shirts. And one day, we're having a conversation with another couple. And we're talking about, like, who does what in the house. And I'm, you know, yeah, no, I iron because actually Ed wasn't that great at it. And do you know what he said? I did it on purpose. But he hadn't told me for 10 years. So I think for the next 10, I don't think I ironed a single shirt. But do you know what? Then someone felt sorry for him. I do believe in grace, but I also believe in retribution. Is that right? No. God does that. But do you know what? He had like interns that worked for him and they felt so sorry for him because his shirts were so creased. They used to do it for him. You didn't. He just made you do it. Emma Satchel offered to do it. Anyway. Okay, that was just... Thank you so much. Oh, look, you're doing Abby's as well. Look at that. Great job, I have to say. Let's give him a round of applause. And let's just give these guys a round of applause for actually finishing off the cake. He's still got his drink. Is that better, Ed? Sorry, I couldn't help telling you that story. Right, I've lost my total train of thought now. Control. I'm in control. It's all fine. But you get the idea. We all like to do this, but actually it takes some stuff along the way to actually get there. And I just really wanted to paint that picture really clearly at the beginning of what I wanted to say, because when you get that, then actually it means that you're much more inclined to change something in your life. Because if you really want something, you know, whether it's the chocolate cake, whatever, if you really want something, you'll do some stuff to get it. You might have to put some stuff down, you might have to pick some stuff up, whatever it is you need to do. But you'll work at it with all your heart if you really, really want something. And if we really want to create a home where people can find the love of God, you know, if we want to create a home where people can can be challenged, where people can just like break out of the stuff that is controlling their life, because there's so much in this world that will try and take us away from God's plan. There's so much that will take us down. There's so much that, you know what, you put stuff in your life, you get shame on the top of it. You know, you tie yourself up with so many things, and before you know it, you're like a million miles from God. But actually, we want to create a place that the world needs, a place of hope and a place of life. We want to create a place where people can come into and find a home, and they can work through some of the stuff that they've got going on in their lives. And to do that, you know, it just takes doing some stuff. It takes putting some things aside and takes picking some things up. And it starts with us. And I read Psalm 15 this morning, and I'm just going to read it out of my new favorite version of the Bible, which is the Passion Translation, because I'm a creative person and I just love the way that the words are. And it says this: Lord, who dares to dwell with you? Who presumes the privilege of being close to you? Living next to you in your shining place of glory. Who are those who daily dwell in the life of the Holy Spirit? They are passionate and wholehearted. They are always sincere, speaking the truth, for their hearts are trustworthy. They refuse to slander or insult others. They'll never listen to gossip or rumors, nor would they ever harm another with their words. They will speak out passionately against evil and evil workers while commending the faithful ones who follow after the truth. They make firm commitments and follow through, even at great cost. They never crush others with exploitation or abuse, and they would never be bought with a bribe against the innocent. They will never be shaken. They will stand firm forever. And you know, I just love those words. And I started with this morning. So my first point this morning was this, that, you know, we need to be the person that we want to meet in life. And I love those words. If you want to dwell with God, if you want to be dwelling in his house, you have to be in his presence daily. You know what? If you want to be the person that you would want to meet, you have to have your heart right before God. You know what? Will you be passionate and wholehearted? Will you be sincere and speak the truth? Will you refuse to slander? Will you speak against evil? Will you make a firm commitment and follow it through? Will you not put others down? When you come to church, you know, who do you want to meet? You want to meet someone like that. You want to meet someone with an open life. You want to meet someone with an open heart. Let's choose to be the person that you would want to meet. And I said this morning, maybe you'd want someone to invite you for a coffee. Well, why not become known as the person who invites others for coffee? You know, maybe you're the person who wants someone to listen. Well, why not become known as the person who will listen to others? You know, if you want someone to love you, why not make yourself known for being the person who loves others? Be the person you want to meet. That's the first thing. I'm not going to go through 2, 3, and 4. You'll have to listen to those. And if you want the extended version of one on the podcast. But number 5. So write in your book 2, 3, 4. And this is number 5. Okay. Gather so we can scatter. Gather to scatter. As a church, we come together on Sundays. We come together to worship God. We come together to give God all the praise and the glory he deserves. We gather to encourage each other. We come together to hear from the word of God, to be encouraged by his word. But then we go back out into the world. We go back out into our place of work. And you know what? That's what we're called to do. If you go home, you don't just stay at home. You go back out again, don't you? You go home and then you go out and you go to work and you do all your stuff. But you still go home at the end. And Matthew chapter 5 says this. It says, you are the salt of the earth. And then verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, our kids would just love to live in church. They'd love to just, like, particularly Abby, she'd love to have a dormitory in church. Like, Jack and Claire, do you reckon that's good for youth work? We could just have all the teenagers. Yeah, you just want a bed? Be good. Yeah, be good to have a bed. And we just, you know, they just love to be here all the time. But we're not called just to be in church, in our safe place, in the place that we love to be. We're actually called to come, encourage each other, and go out. And actually, we're not even called just to be here to get like fed. You know, I've heard so many people go, I didn't get fed this morning. Well, actually, we're called to get fed ourselves when we read the Word of God. And you know what? When we open the Word of God ourselves, then God feeds us. And we do get fed from the Word of God when we sit in the worship. You know, when we're giving God praise, it's amazing, like how you go out feeling like, wow, that was amazing. Being in God's presence was amazing. And there's always words spoken over us. But you know, we're called actually to spur each other on. And I was thinking about spurs. Spurs aren't that great. Like, they're a little bit painful, aren't they? If you're on a horse with this, I mean, I don't know a lot about horse riding, but they're not. I'm kicking it because I think you spur, is that right? That's going, yeah. You kind of like, you kick your horse to move it forward. And the writer to the Hebrews writes this, let us consider how we may spur each other on. How we may spur each other on. So if you're in church thinking church is just dead cozy and you're going to have like a really nice time, that's kind of true, but you might get spurred on as well, because God doesn't want us to stay the same. And God doesn't want the people that come in the door to stay the same. That's the whole point of us being here, to create a home for them. He actually wants us to encourage people. He wants us to spur them on into all that he has for them. And it's in doing that that actually they go to their next level. They become the person that God has called and purposed them to be. And so we come together to encourage each other. We come together to spur each other on Sundays, in connect groups, as Dave so brilliantly said earlier. You know, we come together, we come home, we come to our family to encourage us, to build into us, but to build into each other. And then we go out, and we go out into our workplace, and we go out into the people that God has put in our world so that we can then encourage them and we can be salt and light in their world. So we gather to scatter. Okay, number six is this. We put down roots. We put down roots. Early on in our marriage, when Ed and I were maybe a little bit more vocal in our annoyance and frustrations with each other, if you think that is possible, I remember really clearly going to church one day, and we'd had a blazing row in the car, and we were going down. Ed's going, it's a little row. Okay, I exaggerate a little bit. He's like, what? It was fine. So I came from a home where we didn't row. Like, we used to sulk, and we used to go quiet, and we used to internalize it, and then we'd be okay in a while. Ed came from a home, on the other hand, where they like had a real full-on argument. So I felt attacked, because I was not used to this at all. Like, he was just being normal, but I was like, what? I'm like, how can you speak to me like that? Maybe he doesn't even love me. Do you even want to be married to me? And, you know, like, I was probably a little bit of a drama queen. I'm not at all, though. But we did something really significant in our marriage. And you know what? If you're married, this will help you. We said we're never going to say the word divorce. We will not let the word divorce enter into our vocabulary. You know what? I'm not saying there's not times when I felt like leaving. I'm not saying there's not times when it's been a real struggle. And there's probably equally, Ed's probably say exactly the same thing. But you know, we committed to each other before God. And you know what? It's the same thing in church. You know what? Things are going to be a little interesting. There's going to be things around you that, you know, people around you that are different to you. But what if you just say, no, I'm planted in this house, because I know if I'm planted in this house, then I will flourish. And you know what? When a plant puts down roots, when a tree puts down roots, even when you like you try and chop the tree off, the roots are still in the ground. And there's some trees that you can chop down, I think, every 10 years, less than 10 years, and you can keep chopping them, and they'll keep springing up because their roots are planted in the ground. They're fully embedded. They're getting the nourishment from the soil, and the trees are springing up, and they are flourishing. And you know, that's what happens to us. If you choose to be planted in the house of God, the Bible says that you will flourish. And you know, as I said with Ed and I, we said we will not use the word divorce, because we knew that if you say something, it then can go into an action. You know, what you speak then turns out as what you do, yeah? But you can go one back from that and say, actually, what you think becomes what you speak, becomes what you do. And the Bible says, as a man thinks... so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. So what's your thought life like? That's a question to write down and maybe pick up another time. What's your thought life like? Luke 6:45 says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You know what? Whatever you're speaking out is coming from your heart. So, you know, if you want to put roots down, you might need to deal with some of the stuff in your heart. Because you know, we don't want to harbor grudges. You know, things happen to us, okay? Like, stuff happens in life, and people are going to offend you and upset you and not agree with some of the stuff that you're doing, that's for sure. But you know what? Is that going to stop you from keeping your roots down? Is that going to fester inside of you? Are you going to let relationships be ruined over something that in the end is actually insignificant? You know, or are you going to put your roots down and be planted in the house of God, in good soil, where the Bible says you will flourish? I preached a message a while ago. One of my points was have sticky feet. And you know what? If your feet are sticky, then they're stuck. They're not going to go anywhere. And I just want to say, like, will you have sticky feet? Will you just make sure your feet are going to stick where you've put them and not walk away when it gets tricky, not walk away when it becomes a challenge? So that is point number 6, put down roots. Number 7, embrace change. Embrace change. Things around here change a little bit. Have you noticed that? No? No, it's always the same. Alex Moore came to our house on Friday and she said, oh, it's so cool coming to your house. I've seen like all these things that are different. And I just thought, I've not changed anything. Because I'm not one of these people that changes my furniture around every month just to, you know, have a little bit of fun. Dave Scholes, unlike you, who changes his office round, I think, every couple of months, probably. But some people are into moving furniture, aren't they? Just because they like it. Are you a furniture mover? Yes. I'm just not. I'm like, why move it? It's in the right place. It's like, it's logical. It's there because there's a reason it's there. It works because of the space. Like, why would I want to put it somewhere else? Like, that is the way I think. I'm like, why waste my time in reorganizing something that's already perfect? But like other people, like they just go like, oh, I just want to move this. I want to move that. But you know what? The Bible says God is always doing something new. And you know what? At our house, it is the same. So, you know, the kids used to have a playroom. It was full of toys. You used to have this really cool toy that you walked around and went bloom, bloom, and it like different noises, everything you did. But like, it'd be really weird now if Jonathan went in there and was like, Mom, I want to play with that toy. I want to walk down that. Actually, he probably would, wouldn't he? But because he's just a fun kind of guy. But you know what? Our room now has in it a big sofa with a TV and a PlayStation, which I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with, more hate than love. But like things in life change when our kids grow up, when things happen. You know what, the fire guard goes, you might get rid of the stair gates, the plug protectors, all those things that you have when you've got little children, you don't need as they get older. And church is the same. You know, in church, we're not the same that we were when there were 30 of us gathering. You know, it's different. And even if you've only joined us within the last year, you'll see there's a brand new coffee shop at the front. That's brand new. We've got service pastors over our services. We've got a new gate onto the roadside that we can open up onto, you know, so the public can actually see what is going on behind the wall. We've got an amazing bouncy castle out there. You know what? We've got loads of stuff that is changing all the time. And some of us find it easy and some of us find it hard. But you know what? As a church, we're committed to change. As a church, we have a group of leaders ministry leaders, they're called, and they're committed to doing whatever is needed to be done. And they don't build their kingdoms. They don't have an area that is their area. But actually, what they do is they said, I will commit myself to being a ministry leader, which means I will go wherever I am needed. And so they might be in kids' work now, but you know what? They might need to become a service leader in 6 months' time. And that's okay. You know, they might have been a service leader like James and Sam, Pastor James and Sam. They were at Blackpool leading a service and they've gone, yeah, no, you want us to come back here and serve for a while? That's cool, we'll do it. You know what? The heart isn't about what we do. It's not about us. It's just about going like, do you know what? We'll just do what it takes. We'll embrace change. We're not in it for us, but actually we're in it for whatever God wants and we'll just be whatever is needed. Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The psalmists talk about singing a new song. There's loads of references in the Bible to God doing a new thing. He talks about new wine needs new wineskins. You know what? If you want to be in God's will and God's plan, if you want to be building an amazing home for the new generation, like you've got to be in the new. You've got to be in the new. And that means you've got to embrace change. And we're all called to do it whether we like it or not. But you know what? Let's just do it passionately because we want what God wants. We want to see the new. We want to see God doing something new. We want to see this place overflowing. We want to see this place being a home for the new generation. Let's embrace change. And then finally, number 8, live a big life. Live a big life. If you want to create a home, You know, you can keep it small or you can live a big life. We have a saying that we got from Hillsong, and it is this: always have room for one more friend. Always have room for one more friend. You see, God isn't satisfied with just a few people at Valley Church. He's not satisfied even with a few thousand in church in our nation, because currently there's 65 million people in the UK. There are over 742 million people in Europe. And around 500,000 of those are just on our doorstep. In fact, some of those are on your street. Some of those come through our coffee shop. Some of them come in for conferencing. Some of them go to work with you. Some of them go to school with your kids or with you. Some of them like play out in the street. Maybe today, you know, maybe that's you. Maybe actually you've just walked through our door. You know what? We want to have a big life so that all of those people can actually meet with the God who loves them and the God who has called us to create a home for them. You see, God has a big heart for the world. It says he sacrificed himself, not just for one or two, but for all. And we just want to be a church that actually reaches out for all. We don't want to be a church just for a few. We don't just want to be looking after ourselves, but we want to be ready so that if your friend comes through the door, my friend comes through the door, maybe you've come through the door for the first time today, that we can welcome you. We can, you know, invite you for a coffee. We can, you know, sit down and chat with you. We can say, you know, hi, how are you doing? Welcome to our home. You know, so that you can actually feel part of our family, because God has a heart for the world. It's so sad that people perceive church as unfriendly. You know, in the nation today, people think church is unfriendly and unwelcoming, unaccepting and judgmental and old-fashioned. And we put services on every Sunday here, and we say, you know what, bring your friends. Bring people to find Jesus and discover actually that God loves them for who they are. Sure, he doesn't want them to stay as they are, but God loves them for who they are. And all he wants is for us to welcome them and us to live big enough lives so that they can become part of the family too. And at the end, we're going to give, you know, if that's you tonight and you're here for the first time, we're going to give you that opportunity just to encounter God for the first time. But I want to finish, as I did this morning, by talking about our home a bit. See, Pastor Dave came into our home on Thursday and he said, oh, Shell, it's so tidy. And you kind of go, oh, thanks, Dave. And my response was, oh, that's because we've been out. You know, because actually when you're at home, like, life isn't tidy. You know what? When you've got kids around and when you've got stuff going on in your house, you know, your house isn't tidy. And so often, you know, we feel like our lives are messy. So often we feel like we haven't got it sorted and we can't be the people that people need us to be. But actually, God says, you know what? I just want you just as you are. And I will help you and I will take you on to the next step, because actually, you know what? You're not finished yet. You're not finished yet. And God is here tonight saying, you know what? I love you. Like, wherever you're at, I just love you. And I just want you to walk in your relationship with me every day. I want you to experience my love. That's what God says. He just says, I want you to know my love so that you can pass it on. And you know, I've talked about all these things that we can do. And you know what? They're all amazing. But primarily, it's all about our relationship with Jesus. You know what? What's your daily walk with God like? You know, are you spending time in his presence every day? Do you sit in the chair with your Bible? Do you sit and pray and just say, God, you know, be close to me and speak to me? You know, like, are we doing that so that we are resourced and we can take that outside? Because actually creating a home for a new generation starts with us. And I've just got this Bible and I love it. You know, it's the Passion Translation. They go back to what it was and they put the passion that God had for his people and they write it all the way through so that you can't miss it, you can't mistake it. And that's really brought my daily devotions alive, because I'm just loving this new Bible. And I don't know what it is for you. Like, do you love meeting with God every day? You know, maybe you've never done it before. Maybe today you go like, do you know, I just thought going to church was enough. Like, why not pick your Bible up every day? Why not say, you know what, I don't just want to wait till Sundays or Tuesdays at Connect Group to meet with God. I want to meet with God every day. I want to spend time in God's Word so that when I meet my neighbor, when I meet my friend, I've got an answer for them. The Bible says always have an answer for the hope that is within you. You know what, if you've got the Word of God in you, you'll have an answer. You know, don't wait for me, for Dave, for Ed, for Mel, for Claire, like for Jack. Don't wait for us guys to get on the platform and give you the answers. Like, get the answers yourself. The word of God is treasure. You know, the word of God is gold. There's a psalm in here. It's like mega long, 119. It is. I read it. It says, the word of God is a light to your feet and a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You know, it says, bury the word of God deep within you. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lead not on your own understanding. There's like, the word in here is gold. Like, just get it in you so that you can live out what God has put in you and your neighbors can see that. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church? Or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.